Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent broadcasting in Belgium. This week, America observes Memorial Day, when all of us pay special tribute to loved ones who have gone on, and particularly to our hero dead. This year, Memorial Day has even greater significance than at any time in the past. There are many more graves where homage will be paid, and they're in so many parts of a war-torn world. I know some of you are thinking of graves, perhaps unmarked, somewhere on a lonely Pacific island, and others have their hearts here in Europe, along the beaches of Normandy, or in the Ardennes, or along the Rhine, or elsewhere, where some loved one gave the last full measure of devotion. And I know that at home you're bringing flowers and choking back tears as you participate in Memorial Day services. Each community has its own way of marking the day. I recall so well how our own home farming community held its sunset service at the cemetery near the little white church. I remember so well how we as youngsters were asked to take part in pairs, a girl and a boy, the girl carrying flowers and the boy a flag, and the glow of pride we felt as we placed these expressions of devotion on the graves of our community's soldier dead at the Summit Church Cemetery. I remember, too, those Civil War veterans, grand old men and proud soldiers of the Spanish War, and the sturdy younger men who fought in World War I, how they lined up, their heads bowed, as they heard someone, usually an older girl, once it was my sister, read those memorable lines in Flanders Field. And finally, just as the sun's last rays shone over the nearby pasture hill, heard the salute, and then Mr. Bonnell sound taps. Little did I dream that long ago evening that someday I would see Flanders Fields in distant Belgium, but that's where I am now, and I want to share this experience with you. I know you join with me in paying this tribute to those who fought and died in this and in every other war. Flanders Field is a cemetery located near Waregem, a quiet farm section in eastern Belgium. The moment I walked through the large open iron gate, a feeling of reverence and awe came over me, a feeling of humility and of deep respect. I thought again of the poem, In Flanders Field Where Poppies Grow, Between White Crosses Row on Row. I saw the white crosses, the late afternoon sun bringing out their marble beauty, and the tiny little chapel in the exact center of the cemetery. Saw the memorials placed at three separate points and saw the wonderful care given every inch of this hallowed spot. Noted the perfect symmetry of the whole plan and watched our flag proudly wave over it all. I now have a wire recorder furnished by the channel base section of the communication zones set up where I can bring you this picture just as I see it. A wide gravel walk flanked by roses, a hedge, behind which I see some rhododendrons, leads from the gate past this ivy-covered, flower-bordered caretaker's home, which is right across from the white-painted flagpole with its bronze base. And the walk leads on to where several steps go down to the center area, in which that tiny, beautiful chapel forms the perfect centerpiece. Facing the chapel on four sides are 368 graves, each marked with its own white marble cross or Star of David. These are in four sections, 23 graves to a row and four rows deep. Each section is a little field in itself, and the fields are several feet above the area around the chapel, and the spacing and arrangement is flawless. There are no poppies, though, amid the white crosses, for the simple reason the graves could not be properly cared for if large plants were there. But there are poppies in beds and borders nearby. Large, beautiful poppies, along with geraniums and with pansies and with other flowers. A boxwood hedge, clipped to exact width and height from one end of the area to the other, separates the white crosses from beautifully landscaped boundary areas, and small sections of hedge also are seen near the walk in front of the graves. In the fields of white crosses, you'll find the names of heroes from almost every state. Iowans in this historic plot include Private Thomas Bevins and Private Tryphone Cantacesso. Resting beside them are men from Ohio and Pennsylvania and Montana and Missouri and Oklahoma and other states. At the points where the fields are separated, some beautifully landscaped memorials have been put up by the 27th, 37th, and 91st Divisions. The chapel is a true work of art in construction and in furnishings. It is octagonal in form, 18 feet in diameter, and perhaps some 35 feet high. It's of granite stone with lovely inscriptions in English, Belgium, and French, paying tribute to the heroes. And these inscriptions are enhancing three sides. And then there's a door leading to the altar. Within the chapel, a gold crucifix is centered on a marble casket with a vase of roses on each side. There are four tiny pews or benches for worship. The ceiling is of beautiful mosaic design in gold and silver and white tile, with six doves of peace set within that crowning glory. On the inside walls, in gold letters, are the names of men who rest in unknown graves near Flanders Field, names like Albert Magnuson of Minnesota and Albert Schultz of Wisconsin. The profound beauty of it all so impresses one that words do not come easily. A beauty that comes partly from the significance of this historic plot, and partly because someone has worked tirelessly through all the German occupation and for a long time before to keep this sacred spot so immaculate. That someone is Achille Adams, a native of Belgium, who is a caretaker and is with us. Mr. Adams, how many years have you been here at Flanders Field?
I've been here 20 years, sir.
And when did you take over?
I took over the place as caretaker in June 41, sir.
You have done such marvelous work, I hardly know how to explain it. The perfectly trimmed hedges we see here, the edging along the walks, the care of the flower beds, and the borders, and the lawns. They're just like velvet, and the ivy, and the untiring attention you've given the graves. You must be very busy.
We are very busy. We trim our hedges twice a month. We had to rake our roads and paths twice a week. We have to cut our lawns every week. And also we had to work and clean in our masses to keep our nice flowers and scraps clean.
You surely have been on the job. And what about the chapel? It's so spotless, so perfectly spotless.
It is because I clean it every morning on count of visitors get in every day, and I like to see it clean myself.
You surely have achieved your goal. Another question, Mr. Adams. Did the Nazis cause you any trouble during the occupation?
Well, they did a little on me because I wasn't allowed to get a flag in the cemetery, and also I wasn't allowed to lay a flower in the cemetery.
Did they trouble you and Mrs. Adams here at the home any?
Well, they did a little bit. They went all through my house looking after flags, but they couldn't find any.
Tell me this. Did they disturb the graves in any way?
No, sir, they didn't.
Well, that is reassuring. Thank you, Mr. Adams. All America owes you and Belgium a deep debt of gratitude. And so we come to the close of our visit to Flanders Field and its quiet serenity, broken only by the sound of distant hoofbeats and the sweet singing of birds and the soft wind rustling through leaves of oaks and lindens. The stillness that comes with the sleep of peace, symbolized here in Flanders Field, where poppies grow, near white crosses, row on row. This memorial broadcast would not be complete without a word about some of the new American cemeteries. Not as well known as Flanders Field, of course, but with just as much significance in every way. Cemeteries I've seen in Luxembourg, in Germany, and here in Belgium. I'm going to take you now to one of these sacred spots near Châtelet, in the area of Belgium, near where the breakthrough took place, where so many of our men lie buried. We're here now in the new American cemetery, situated on a gently sloping hillside in this rugged section of Belgium. Before me, almost as far as I can see in this particular terrain, are white crosses and Stars of David, row on row, just as they are in Flanders Field, but over so much, much larger an area. I'm told that there are 3,888 graves here, 2,200 of them, our own American men and boys, heroes all, sleeping their last sleep. We're speaking from right in front of the American section, where our microphone is near the wreath at the base of the flagpole. In the American section, there are 11 fields with 20 graves to a row and 10 rows deep. The crosses and stars are in perfect formation, and the fields are too. The crosses are of wood, about 2 feet high and 15 inches across. They're all lily white with black letters giving the names. J.W. Sykes, John Koontz, Fred Gallagher, John Oliver, and so on. Over the brow of the slope and to the right are more white crosses, some of them denoting the graves of our allies and some of enemy dead. Several hundred yards to the right, to the south, typical Belgium farmstead, gray stone walls and slate roofs and some fine horses and colts in a pasture. To the east, beyond the graves, I can see a church steeple. Its cross is lending additional significance to the setting here. Over toward the left, the north of us, an orchard and some more farmsteads with red slate roofs and a part of a forest. Behind us is a curving road with some hedge. And all along the cemetery, a white fence, perfectly made. The section just to my right has no graves. It's evidently being planned for future landscaping. Everything about the cemetery is perfectly neat and clean. I'm sure that all of our people back home can take comfort in the way the American cemeteries are being cared for. Like Flanders Field, it's very quiet here. Unlike Flanders Field, though, where all the lovely flowers and hedges and trees add so much color, this cemetery has only the simple beauty of the white of the crosses and fences and the green of grass just seeded and the gravel of the walks, and then, of course, the red, white, and blue of our flag waving over this with all the dignity. I think, too, we can take comfort in another thing. And that is the word we're going to hear now from Chaplain H.F. Hamburger of Melinta, Ohio, with the 8th Air Force, who will offer a prayer.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray this day that we may give to Thee our humble thanks for those of our comrades who lie in this hallowed ground. They have made the supreme sacrifice for us, for their loved ones, and for their country. May they rest with Thee. And dear Father, may we be inspired by their loyalty, their courage, and their self-sacrifice to a greater devotion to Thee and to our country. Grant unto us strength, we pray, to continue the struggle until peace, justice, and righteousness are established on this earth. And we pray, too, for the loved ones of these who lie here. Grant unto them Thy comfort, and may Thy Spirit abide with them. May they be consoled by the knowledge that their sons, their husbands, and their brothers have died that others may live. These things we ask according to Thy mercy, our Father. Amen.
At an American cemetery in Belgium, returning you to WHO.